Is that the book I read?
It sure is.
Is that by the Talking Heads?
It sure is. And you know what that means?
You tell me.
It's that time of the month.
It's that time of the month. Yes, it is. It is Get Lit, your one and only happy hour book club show that lasts, yeah, for a half hour.
It's a nice happy hour.
It's a happy half hour.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to say.
We only get a half hour, but
we're happy.
We better be happy most of it. Yes. How are you? This Erin Go Book is right here.
I am doing really well. I loved all the snow this weekend. How about yourself?
Oh, yeah. It's been nice. This is Ape on the Dink. And let's see. What has been going on so much this month? This was a really, really long month.
Just one extra day.
January just feels...
Oh, I was thinking February. Sorry. Yeah, January. Oh,
we do get an extra day in February, and we can talk about that a little bit, too.
Okay, cool.
But, yeah. No, January just seemed so long.
You think?
I don't know. It did.
You must have been really busy.
I was, which normally it seems like it would go by quicker, but it just feels like it was like a 2 month stretch right there.
Clearly you need a vacation.
I think so. I think I need a vacation. Oh, so what are the things we talk about here besides where we get support?
Should we tell people where we get support from?
I think we should say.
All right. Support for Get Lit and KDNK comes from Carbondale Beer Works, open 7 days a week, 11 a.m. to 11 p.m., Sunday through Thursday, and until midnight on Friday and Saturday. Beer Works hosts bingo night for KDNK this Wednesday at 7:30. Be there, be square. More info at Carbondale Beer Works on Facebook.
Now, that is something right there we can talk about real quick before we dive into a pretty sobering book that we read. But anyway, yeah, Carbondale Beer Works is hosting KDNK for bingo.
Woohoo! B-I-N-G-O.
It's going to be fun. There's going to be a ton of raffle prizes. Mm-hmm. I know that we, in our stock, we have a couple of really nice tumblers. Is mm-hmm. that what you call them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
From Matt.
Clay tumblers.
From
local artist Matt Eames.
Wow. From the Clay Center. That's uh-huh. amazing. We have just been gifted a 1 hour massage and a half hour facial.
What?
I know. By a local masseuse. She's actually my gal, and she's amazing.
That's
Debbie,
awesome.
Debbie Gonzalez. So you could win a massage. You could win tumblers. We've got lots of KDNK swag, tickets to places, food, gift certificates to restaurants.
Yeah, we're hooking it up. You should be there.
Yeah, it sounds like it's going to be a good night. So
we'll be there.
We'll be there.
So you should at least come hang out with us.
Come on down and support KDNK at Carbondale Beer Works this Wednesday night at what time? 7?
7:30. Be there at 7. Get a good spot because if it fills up, sorry.
Yeah.
That did happen last time I went to bingo. People got turned away. It was so full.
Yeah, that was
It was awesome.
That was a really good, that was a fun night too.
Yes.
Yeah, I want a tattoo.
I want to see it. I think you should get a Beer Works tattoo. Not just kidding. Or KDNK tattoo.
KDNK. Oh.
I'll design it for you.
Oh my gosh. I wonder if there's anybody out there that has a KDNK. If you have a KDNK tattoo and you're
Please
listening.
Please call us.
Call us right
Please
now.
Send me a picture. I would love it.
At 963-2976.
Put you in the newsletter. Put you on Facebook.
Oh yeah. You'll be the face or the...
They
cheek
do,
or
they
the,
do that in
whatever
Sturgis. My friend went to, she goes every year, but they were giving away like free tattoos, but it had to be like some logo. Like you didn't get to pick. And I'm like, ew, I think I might pass on that.
Nike.
I don't need a free tattoo that bad.
Just do it.
All right. We did read a book, I think, right? Should we talk about that? Is there something else you wanted to bring up
some
first?
Some people read. Some people listened. It's okay.
It still counts.
It still counts.
We'll forgive you. I know you like to listen to your books while you do things. You're a busy woman. I sit at home with my cats and read. You actually have things to do.
Do the cats ever read to you?
I wish. No, they snuggle. And I don't read to them, so I'm not that weird.
Oh, okay. Wow. So what did we read?
We read The Tattooist of Auschwitz by Heather Morris. It was published in January of 2018, so it's just a little 2 years old right now.
So I have to say that we had this discussion, Book and I, and we do realize that this is a happy hour book club show and that we always feature a cocktail of some sort, and we just couldn't bring ourselves to celebrate in that kind of way today.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, this is a book that you would maybe drink to relieve your sorrows.
Yeah.
It wasn't really a cheerful celebration. I mean, it ended, it had a great ending, and this is a spoiler show. I have to remind everybody this is, we're going to talk about the whole book and tell you about the ending. So if you haven't read it and you don't want to hear, tune out, because we are going to talk.
Yeah.
So it ended really beautifully. I mean, he got out and it was great, but it was extremely somber and sobering and just, this book, I don't do this often, but I read the book in like 2 days. I was so moved. And I literally wrote down like two quotes. I took pictures on my phone because I just had to tell them to the audience. They were just so poignant and moving.
Listen.
Oh my God, you have notes?
I have notes.
Whoa, you came prepared.
I was prepared.
Good job, gold star.
I did not write these in the hallway as I walked in, as I have in the past. I wrote them earlier today.
Good job. You had your homework done before the due date.
Yes.
Before we were sitting here Googling on our
phone. Which I've done that also. But I do actually have notes this time. And I actually, myself, I do have some quotes also, because there were so many moving things about this book. I think the one thing I'm going to say right now that I'd heard of it. I know there's a movie, right?
I don't know. Maybe.
I think there's a movie. I guess we could. There's something we could Google. But it's a love story. So, hey, there's our first spoiler alert. It is set in Nazi Germany, but this is a love story. And I wasn't expecting that. I did not know that that's what this book was. But that's exactly.
And based on a true story.
Based
on it's not a biography. It's not complete nonfiction, but it's very closely related to his people in it were real historical people.
So one of the things that I saw it categorized under was biographical fiction. Mm. At first, I thought it was said historical fiction, and then another blurb I saw called it biographical fiction. So I thought that was kind of interesting. I don't know if I've heard that term before. So it is based on a love story between two inmates of the Auschwitz-Birkenau concentration camps. Yeah. They met there, and they wanted to tell, he wanted to tell a story. His name is Loli. You say that.
I think it was wasn't it Ludlow Sokolov?
Loli. They went by Loli, right?
Yeah.
Loli.
Yeah.
Loli Sokolov.
Yeah.
And so he met his future wife, or who he fell in love with, his wife. And her name was Gita Furman.
I love the name Gita.
Gita. Mm-hmm. And they met as he was tattooing numbers on her arm.
She was going to say something, and he kind of shushed her and told her to be quiet. And he looked up at her as he was tattooing, and they met eyes. And that was it.
Yeah.
That was all for him anyway.
So do you want to give a little synopsis or?
Yeah. Okay. So like we were saying, it was so interesting. Like I said, it's based on a true story. And Loli was 26 in April of 1942. And he actually went, he gave himself to the concentration camp. He went with his will, which was really interesting, I thought, when I first learned that. Because he didn't realize what was happening. The Nazis had come to his hometown, and they were asking people to give themselves up.
Oh, okay.
He was unmarried and unemployed, and he wanted to help his family. So he said that he would go along with them. His mom, you know, they cried and pleaded with him, and they packed him all these wonderful books to keep him company. And, of course, on this horrific train ride to the concentration camps, everything gets taken in front of him. His books get taken in front of it, from him. He gets beaten up, and he gets to this place that he's like,
wait, what's going on?
Yeah, it's like a cruel joke.
Yeah, people weren't aware of, I don't think they were aware of the concentration camps yet.
No, they weren't. And the freaky part is, too, is that they would have these poor individuals who are in the camps do their bidding. You know, like Loli was the tattooist. But he was a Jew. He was tattooing his own people, you know, and he didn't want to, but it was where they put him. Or that he had a friend in the camp that he sees later that gets, he's a big guy, so they make him be like one of like their little police brutes, and he has to beat up Loli and their friends. And he goes, you have to make this look worse than it really is. And he kind of whispers to him and makes sure they're friends, because they would have to do evil things to each other, because that's what the Nazis made them do. It was so, so heartbreaking. Building their own crematoriums.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, just, oh, gosh.
Carrying dead bodies and things. And so one of the things, so he gets to this concentration camp, and one of the things that impressed the German, the SS, was that he spoke several languages, and that did set
that's what saved him.
It set him apart because he was able to speak to anybody basically that came in. I think he spoke four or five different languages.
To the officers, mm-hmm. to the commanders, to the people that were coming into the camp. Yeah, he was very fortunate in that, and he got, because he was the tattooist, he got to live a little bit of a,
yeah,
if you could say, cushier life, if that's even a thing.
Yeah, some people accused him of being almost like a traitor, a conspiratist.
But the beautiful thing about him,
he used his
small, tiny, meager power to help his fellow people, and that was, it brings almost tears to my eyes right now. It was so extremely moving. He befriended these people. There were some people building at something, and I can't remember how it went down, but it was like a father and a son, and they were building, but they were different. They didn't have the star or something.
Yeah, they were locals. They came into work every day, and they were actually paid for what they did.
And they felt horrible, but again, they were in poverty. They had no option, and so they befriended Lolly, and they would sneak him in extra food. And stuff. And he would trade. This was the most bizarre part to me. Yeah. So there was one group of people, one group of women who would be in charge of kind of like disrobing all the dead bodies and taking the stuff off of them. And there was this one group that they found all these jewels on these rich people, you know, and so they would take them and they would trade them for food.
And so they talk a lot about having diamonds and rubies and these different things.
They would trade for a loaf of bread.
Yeah.
Of like ruby earrings for a sausage.
Yeah.
And that was like one of the things I wrote down. There was at one point one of the guards knows what's up, and he says, "Hey, I want you to get me some nylons for my girlfriend."
Yeah, so even he has the guards coming to him.
Exactly.
Like, I heard you could get things.
You can get stuff on the outside.
Yeah.
So he gets two diamonds and trades them for a pair of nylons.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And just that concept of like, what is money worth? When you're in a situation like that, it loses all value.
Oh, yeah. When you're literally starving, a loaf of bread or a chunk of sausage, here's some diamonds. Here's some rubies.
This means nothing. Yeah. You know? Yeah. It was so, and it was just so beautiful. And he continued to help numerous people. Of course, he helped Gita and her friends and always tried to keep them safe. But, you know, he would help children. He would help the women. He would help men. He would help the sick. He would get medicine. It was just amazing what he could do. And again, you're thinking of in dire straits. You have nothing. They wore pajamas. They had no shoes. And he's helping others, when he's skin and bones himself. It was just such an incredible story of resilience.
Yeah, that was one of the things that really made, stood out to me is, in the face of adversity like that, I mean, there are things that, some people may say, well, gosh, he was the tattooist, he was doing this, but it was going to happen no matter
what.
Somebody was going to do it.
And he knew that he could, it's like the whole idea of like, trading off, like doing something a little bit bad to help a greater good, like that, stealing a loaf of bread for a starving family, like it's wrong to steal, but you're trying to save someone's life, I think that's kind of worth it.
So they call them the Tattoo Vier.
In my mind when I was reading it, I always wanted to call them the Tattoo Weaver. But I don't speak German.
So that's when listening to a book sometimes comes in. They called them the Tattoo Vier. And honestly, I thought it sounded French, but it's German for tattooist.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Right.
And the interesting thing, I guess we, you can always obviously look into more, details of the Holocaust. Mm-hmm. But it says that he was in prison for 2.5 years.
Yes. And then he was able, through this long, convoluted process, he was able to like take a train and get out. All of a sudden, the concentration camp was closing.
Yeah.
It was so weird.
Well, it was a Russian invasion, I think, so they were coming in, and there was a time when American airplanes flew over the camp, and, they were waving at him because, the world didn't realize what was going on when it was going on.
Yeah.
I mean, he even at one point after he gets out of Auschwitz and he's traveling and across the country, he says to some Russian soldiers, "Hey, pulls up his sleeve and he shows them his number and says, "I've been in Auschwitz," and the Russian says, "Never heard of it."
Right, right. You know. And you're like, huh?
And that's what he said. He goes, I couldn't believe that all
it's
the...
It's hell on earth and you've not heard of
you've
this.
You've never heard of this. Yeah. And that
which,
was...
Which, unfortunately, yeah. I have to say, those things happen a lot in this world, and that is really sad and bothersome, but...
So, yeah. So he meets this Gita and learns, just they fall in love, and he constantly is telling her, we're going to get out of this. You're going to make me the happiest man on earth. One day we will be able to do what we want when we want. And, you know, they sneak away a little bit here and there. They bribe people to give them a little time to themselves. So, I mean, they do have basically their courtship.
But it's so, I mean, oh, their courtship consisted of, hey, on Sunday, I'm going to see you outside this building and maybe our hands can grace each other.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But, it was but really
that,
rough.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Because they weren't allowed to do, I mean, it was just... to touch or talk or do anything, you know.
So I found this to be so they do so they both survive Auschwitz.
Yep.
They
get separated.
But they get separated,
and through an amazing, incredible story, they make it back together. And you know, back in was it in Poland? Is that where he found her? He went back somewhere to get her.
I believe so, because they're actually both were from. I have this somewhere.
I thought he was Polish.
No, Czechoslovakian. No. Oh my gosh! Now
they did get married and they moved to Melbourne, Australia.
Yeah,
where they had a son.
And then Gary.
Gary.
I thought that was an interesting name. Their son Gary.
Gita son. And Lolly and Gary.
Yes.
And then
They're Slovakian.
Oh, you were right.
Yeah, they're Slovakian.
Okay. And then he did. Lolly did pass away in 2006. And I was looking up your thing about the movie. It looks like someone has the rights and the movie's going to be made, but it's not out yet.
Okay, because this was actually... So the author, Heather Morris, Lolly, she's from Australia, and he contacted her to come and listen to his story and to write about it.
He wanted a screenplay, didn't he? Or she did.
Yes. Yeah. It was actually written as a screenplay originally.
And then it became a novel, yeah.
And she actually did like a... What is it when you go online, you do like a startup, when you do a...
Oh, like a GoFundMe?
Yeah. To get the book.
That's awesome.
Yes. So that's how... But there have been some controversy. There is some controversy
right,
over
about
the
numbers, and well, like I said, it's not pure history. Mm. She did change a few things, but really not much.
No, it says that the controversy quote they say that blurred the authenticity. But I mean, for one thing, he was like 70, 80 years old when he was telling the story. And one of the things that they kept going back to, which to be perfectly honest, I kind of don't get what the big deal was, but that. He
changed the number.
The number was
I thought
off.
The same thing. I'm like, who cares?
Yeah.
That has nothing to do with the story or really the historical accuracy of World War II, in my opinion. But
and there were some other things. She actually had her tattoo removed when she was in her 60s.
Gita?
Yep.
Oh,
That she didn't show it. She didn't like showing it. He showed his to people. Okay. But she did not like showing it. It was an embarrassment, basically, you know, to her. It was bad memories.
Well,
it was all those things.
I think that
she actually had it removed.
I think that whole period of time, when you think about it, either went one of two ways. Either you survived the Holocaust and you persevered and you were resilient and you tried to make the best you could of your life. Or unfortunately, it completely broke you down and you were never able to move past it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it was really one of the two. And I'm... probably would have been one of the ones that never got over it. I can only imagine.
I mean, they did persevere and they did move along. And, you know, this was interesting because so Lolly was born on October 28th, 1916.
Mm-hmm.
Gita was born on March 11th, 1925. My mother was born in February of 1925.
Wow.
And when I saw that birth date, I went, oh, my God, she is like basically the same exact age as my mother.
Right.
My mom was born a month earlier than.
Wow.
And I think, oh, how strange.
Puts it into perspective, right? You're like, how could my mom have, what if that would have been her? How could that have even happened?
Oh, absolutely. You know? It for me, you know, it took that personal parallel,
right.
Kind of that whole, yeah, it was kind of strange. But yeah, you know, they say. Like one of the things that I read, it's like he says he got her penicillin because she had
She got really sick.
Yeah.
Something. Well, oh, that was the other thing. Remember at the very beginning of the book, Lolly got really sick. And the wagon comes to take his body. He's not dead, but he's really close and nobody's going to take care of him. And the wagon comes to take him away.
And so he's thrown and he's on saved. The death wagon.
Yeah. And somebody comes running. They're like, no, no, you can't take him. And they pulled him off and saved him.
Yeah. So.
So it's just he just keeps skirting by the skin of his teeth. And you're like, wow.
And he keeps taking so many chances and so many risks that it's just like, no, stop doing that.
Right. Exactly.
But you know, they're saving each other. They're doing what they can. And that the humanity in this completely inhumane situation,
right,
that is to me what really stood out.
Right. Well, and one of the quotes I had, if anybody has the book, it's on page 274. So Lolly is out of the camp now and he's on his own. And he's at a hotel, I believe. And it says, here he is now, and he must do what he has to do before he can find her, meaning Geeta. He only eats half of what is on his plate, always saves some. This is how he has lived the past couple years. So those things ingrained in you that he, even though now he can sit down and have this full plate all to himself with this beautiful glass of wine, it's still so deeply ingrained in him to save a little bit, because to share with others who need it. You know, it's just like.
Oh, yeah. Cause, and I'm sure there's always that idea. Yeah, I mean, he does. He says to share it, but there's also like, who knows if another meal is going to come along.
I know.
You know, I mean, just that whole. And so I did listen to like the, you know, I don't know what you would call it, you know, a little bit after at the end of the book.
Oh, like the epilogue?
Yeah.
Is that it is? Yeah.
So Gary wrote a closing on it, their son. And he said that that was the thing growing up. It was the most loving household. His mom and dad, after 50 years of marriage, still held hands, still laughed, and were so loving, and that his mom fed him so much that that for her, the best thing in the world was to have a full refrigerator and pantry, and that finally one day he had to tell her, I can't eat so much, Mom. That she would make him three schnitzels for dinner, and he said, I just need one. And she would just, what?
Yeah.
But, you know, that was the thing. And yeah, one of my quotes here is that from the very beginning, Lolly said on the train to Auschwitz, he said, to save one is to save the world. So even if he could just save one person, you know, it's
like
that
the whole idea of the starfish.
It's like the starfish. It's like, yeah, it might not matter to everyone else.
I
but
might
it
not
matters.
Save all of them, but I can at least save that one.
Save that one.
Yeah, totally.
And I thought this, I brought this back around to, maybe what's going on, you know, now.
Absolutely.
Is
not, we don't have concentration camps, but we have detainee camps.
And there's a, so he has a quote says, how can a race that is spread out over multiple countries be considered a threat? And, you know, you think about that and you think about that now. And it's like, how do we perceive each other as threats just for being who you are?
Right.
Just
right.
Being from where you are, how does that make you a threat? So, I mean, that really is something, you know, they always say, and he even said that he wanted his story out because he didn't want this to ever happen again.
Right, right.
You know, and
totally.
That's so there's a sequel to this book.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's Silka's Journey. And it's Silka, if I'm correct, she was the one that the SS officer took as his concubine.
Oh, gross.
Yeah.
That was a really gross part. That poor woman, she was just a sex slave pretty much to him.
Yeah.
And that, oh, that was so sad.
So that there's a book called Silka's Journey.
That's interesting. I'm going to have to put that on my personal list.
Yeah. So, you know, like, so I'll ask you, how did you feel about Lolly in the beginning? And after you progress through the book, do you feel like your feelings, your attitude about him changed?
You know, it's funny. I always go into a book with an open mind because I don't really know where it's coming from. So I didn't really have any judgments on him. He seemed like an amazingly noble person to begin with, to volunteer himself to go, like sacrifice himself for his family to go to the concentration camp. And just I think my respect just kept growing for him in the book, and just being like, wow, it kind of puts my problems into perspective and just kind of makes you think every day, like, be grateful.
Yeah, do
you know,
something
I'm so
nice.
Grateful for so many things.
Well, we want to say that support for Get Lit and Katie and Kay comes from Carbondale Beer Works, open 7 days a week, 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. Sunday through Thursday, and until midnight on Friday and Saturday. Beer Works presents their February Distillers Class with Tulnua. I said I was going to say it correctly. Tulnua at 7 this Thursday evening. You can get more info at Carbondale Beer Works on Facebook. And do we know the name of the book we're reading? I don't think we ever
actually
got it.
No, we're going to have to put the... We're going to do one, a book about being gratitude and someone who wrote a book and they were grateful for once a day for a month. And we'll find it and post it online.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.